Good evening, everyone. It is November 2nd, 2022, in compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act. This is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice was posted on the Township website, distributed to the 100 in Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Following the flag salute, would you please observe a moment of silence in honor of our first responders, our servicemen and women, and the people of Ukraine. Please rise for the flag salute. Thank you very much. So, first on our agenda is consideration to fill the unexpired term on the Township Committee created by the resignation of Mark Lawl. His term would run until the new term would run until the certification of the next general election, which is in November of 2023. State statute dictates how we fill this vacancy. Since Mark was elected as a Republican, the local Republican Party is charged with presenting three nominees to the governing body for consideration to fill the unexpired term. For everyone's information, the local Republican Party committee is comprised of 12 people, two elected by Republican voters in each of the six districts in the township. That happens during the primary election and their two-year terms. Chairman Jay Wojcik is here tonight. He's one of the members of that committee from his district, also his wife Christine, who happens to also be a member of the executive committee of the Hunterdon County Republican Committee. The other members are Abe Abakowski and his wife Mary Nucci, Mr. and Mrs. McCloskey, Ron and Gary Milkowski, Bev Kohler, and Rob Anastasio. If I say that?
Bob Anastasio? Four-year term now.
Oh, no, four-year terms. Okay.
They changed.
Thank you for that. And Tom McKee and his wife Heidi are on the committee. So first, before I turn it over to Jay Wojcik to introduce each of them, I commend each of the nominees for volunteering for their consideration to be on this committee. So Jay, if you would like to introduce the nominees in whichever order you prefer, and invite each of them to introduce themselves and take some questions from the committee, that's how we'd like to begin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, committee folks. All I want to say is we've provided the committee with three highly qualified individuals. We vetted them all, and I think any one of them could do the job very well. I wanted to say Mr. Cryan has been a previous committee member and has various high-level jobs within the telecommunications industry. Mr. Abe Abakowski, who I'll call Dr. Abakowski. He doesn't like to be called that, but he's very highly respected in the biological industry, ran several corporations as a CEO. And then Mr. Mike Falconeri, who I also is here, I'd like to thank you for your service to our country, two-time Gulf War veteran, served in the Navy as an E-5. So you guys have a tough choice to make tonight. So three highly qualified candidates. So I leave it up to you. And if one of you guys would like to get up first, how about Mr. Cryan? If you'd like to get up, you can. If you don't, you don't have to.
Okay.
If you'd like to get up and say something, and then we'll have...
Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening. Mike Falconeri, Bunvale Road. I was asked if I'd be interested in stepping up for potential getting voted into this position. I'm at a point in my life where I've served my country and served on in other capacities and disaster relief and so forth. So service is part of who I am. And if I could continue that service for Lebanon Township, I would certainly like to.
Mind if I just ask a couple of questions? And I honor, appreciate your service to our nation and also the your service to the Township Park Committee. Thank you for that. And T. Brumbacon, I think, just so everybody knows, you were recently down in Florida helping after the Hurricane Ian. That's where you said you sent your information in. So your service is very impressive and appreciated. I think the question And the reason I just want to ask a couple of questions is you'll be appointed to a position that some people are running in elections for, so I think the public needs to get to know you just a little bit.
Sure.
Have you thought about what your priority would be if you're on the township committee? What issue do you see that you would like to address or is a particular passion of yours?
Nothing specific. Again, service to the township, service to this committee, and to all the other committees that come under the leadership of this committee.
Do you have views, for example, on open space preservation? You think that's obviously it's a case by case,
sure,
by property, but in general philosophy.
Sure. Pretty simply put, I like to treat anybody's piggy bank the way I treat my piggy bank. So if there is an opportunity for open space, and we can afford it, and it makes sense for that point in time, because, you know, times change, as we all know, and we can acquire more open space to preserve in this township, then I wouldn't see any reason why not to. Again, it obviously depends upon fiscal responsibility at the time.
Yep. And I assume that would be your answer for sort of budget philosophy as well.
Correct.
I don't want to take all the questions with my colleagues, if you have any.
I've known Michael Falconeri for some time now. I like his position on the Constitution. He stands firmly on it. I find him to be very forthcoming, and I do think that if put in a position of leadership, that he would make the commitment to do so.
I have a question about...
Your red button.
Oh, I'm glad you're here to remind me. Thank you. What would be your position in regard to national issues? Should there be something that's discussed on the local level?
Your electioneering from the D's.
Yes. Excuse me?
I'm sorry. He has the right to ask questions, just like the public has the right to make comment. So.
I guess I would ask for a little bit more clarification, guys.
In other words, if there's some pending national issue, do you think it's appropriate to be discussed at the local level?
It really does depend on there's a plethora of federal and national issues that probably shouldn't be touched at the local level because we have the separations of government, federal, state, and local. So I guess it really does depend. Is it a situation where local is directly affected by federal? Because you never want to cross those lines, right? Because
correct.
That's why the Founding Fathers set up the Constitution the way they did. So you never want to bleed across those, because otherwise we lose the republic we're trying to preserve here.
Okay.
Right? So I guess that's sort of my answer without getting too specific, but you didn't ask too specific of a question there.
Okay. What do you think of the 10th Amendment? Of the Constitution. Could you explain?
Did I explain it?
Yes.
So essentially, if I remember correctly, the 10th Amendment gives all rights and powers back to the people if it's not already in the Constitution itself and governed by the state and the federal level, if my high school civics course serves me correctly.
Well, you did tell me the other day that Hadrian didn't build the wall, correct?
That's correct. Hadrian did not build that wall.
Okay. In regard to your situation as being a volunteer, how would that affect your ability to serve as a committeeman?
So, and thanks for that question, because it's a good question. So, because of many parameters set up by different government entities, state, local, and federal, Team Rubicon and other disaster relief entities were not able to perform their duties the way they would have liked to for 2 years. So, unfortunately, for 2 years, I had to take a hiatus, whether I liked it or not. This is a different type of service. And I've done that service before, and I'll do that service again. If this interferes with that current position in my life, That's okay, because I've been there and done that before, and I will do it again in another capacity. Right now, if I could serve on this committee, I will gladly and honorably do so and serve the people of this township.
There you go. I don't have any other questions.
Mike, do you see this as a long-term commitment? Would you consider running again after the unexpired term?
I appreciate the question, Beth. I guess, like anything else in my life, I would like to see how it goes. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, I would like to see how it goes, for sure.
If I could interject there,
sure.
I had the same question December last year, and I said basically the same thing.
There you go.
And that was the reason one of the members here said they couldn't select me, because I wouldn't commit to run in the fall. You got to find out what it's like first. Sometimes it's a lot of fun to sit up here.
Sure.
As you know.
Yep.
Any other comments, questions? Otherwise, thank you very much for
thank
your
you.
Statement.
Appreciate it.
I don't know if you wanted to make an introduction. I see him come. Okay. Yep.
Yep. Hi, I'm A. Babakowski, Bunville Road here. I have served in various capacities here for the township over the last 20 years. I've been on the Board of Adjustment. I'm currently on the Planning Board, and I was previously on the Township Committee. And I am retired. Consequently, I have the time to serve, and I enjoy very much serving the community, as everybody else has. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity to continue to serve it.
And I think, as you said, we got to know you last year on the committee. I think any questions that I might ask might be redundant. I kind of know the answer, so I would offer my colleagues any questions, comments?
Yeah, I have one question.
Don't go on the 10.
I was going to ask you if you can put into English your number 3 publication, The Effects of Sanguinate on Systematic and Molecular Circulatory Variables in a Model of Prolonged Hemorrhagic Shock. Could you explain that to me in English?
Absolutely. The product sanguinate was first developed as a blood substitute. I converted cow blood into a human equivalent, and it had very interesting properties. It expanded blood vessels, it provides oxygen to hypoxic tissues, and it's useful. It's currently undergoing studies in stroke because it can get through the blockage that is caused in stroke. Very interesting product.
And that was very educational because I had no idea, but what I understood was you've invented a product that will save people's lives, or at least
it's useful for stroke, for heart attacks, for sickle cell anemia, for any indication where there's a lack of oxygen to the tissues.
Are there any other bovine biology situations that may apply also to humans in terms of transplants, things like that?
No, not transplants. I mean, there are a lot of drugs that were developed from cows
bovines
and from sheep and from horses. It's common.
Okay. I like the answer.
If there are no other discussion?
There's no way that I'm going to ask any questions about
microphone.
I'm going to ask you anything about what you've published. I know there's 80-some published that you've done. So, but what I'd like to ask you is, what concerns do you see in the township today? And how could you address them if you were on the committee, so chosen as the nominee, that you would put as in a category of 1 to 2 or whatever, that you find that is something that is concerning to you as well as to the community?
I think the same thing. I'll give you the same answer I gave the first time I went through this, which is that provide transparency and organization. I don't think that the organization of the township is very clear. The reporting structure is not clear, and I do not think that issues that come before the town are transparently presented to the township so that we can get an adequate view of what's appropriate for the residents in this town. That would be one of my main concerns. And then anything else that comes up, that, you know, that we have to deal with. What's important is not so much what I think about the issues, but how I think it benefits or hurts the residents of Lebanon Township, because we're here to provide for them.
One other quick question. Would you have any problem joining the committee and there'd be two of us that graduated from Rutgers University?
No.
Okay.
Brothers in arms.
Although you graduated a couple of years before I did.
No, I don't have any questions. I know you well, Abe.
Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
So we debated a little bit how to run this process, and we do our best every meeting to give the public the opportunity to comment. There's a public comment at the beginning of the of every agenda related to agenda items. We're obviously ahead of that right now. We don't want to turn this at all into a question and answer of the three individuals, but my proposal would be that we open for public comment if anyone in the public would like to make a comment about the process of filling the seats. Would there be a motion to open to public comment? Again, not a question and answer. We won't ask either of the three to address questions from the public.
Let's run the parameters again. What are you putting on the table right now?
To open to public comment.
There's no need to open to public comment.
I would make a motion. We open the meeting for public comment.
To the committee, as the county committee has done.
Correct.
For us to pick a nominee.
Correct.
This is not really an engagement of the public, although I would ask the members that are here, the nominees, if there was something that they wouldn't want to be discussed here in public, or is your position that it's okay? I'm talking to the nominees today because okay. This is something we don't have to do, but the mayor has put it out on the table. Abe, we talked about transparency.
Yeah, we just talked about transparency and how
I'm
many meetings.
I'm just talking about transparency.
How many meetings,
so give me a second.
Group.
Okay. All right? Don't interrupt me.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
So what I'm trying to feel is why we're doing this. We have three nominees in front of us. It's a very simple process to pick a nominee. However, if the nominees have no problem with the public making a statement, then I don't have a problem with it either. That's what I'm saying. But they didn't have to go through this. I think we're making something that's much larger than this process needed to be. But I never don't want the public to speak.
Absolutely.
I don't know if this is the venue because there's public comment after. No different than the planning board that doesn't have public comment prior to decisions made on the planning board. They have public comment after action, as we know.
Which is a very different... very different board, very different.
I understand,
procedures.
But it's still transparency that we're talking about.
And that's what I'm talking about. I'm meeting,
on,
meeting after meeting. If the public doesn't have a chance to voice their opinion prior to a vote, certain members of the public are not happy with that. And I'm trying to find my proposal is not a question and answer for the individuals, but to see if a member of the public would like to make a comment about the process.
Okay, I'll make that motion.
I already made the motion.
To the public.
It's already been made.
All right, then I'll second.
Fine.
Any further discussion on public comment limited to the filling of the nomination? Then roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. At this time, if any member of the public would like to make a comment related to the three nominees or the process for filling the vacant seat, please come forward to the microphone.
Mr. Mayor and committee members, my feeling on this from the perspective of the Republican Committee is that We don't have to subject our candidates to public questioning. Although, if they want to answer questions for people, that's up to them. I think this is out of order, that after the action, then public can make comments.
And they'll have an opportunity.
So we're trying to remove the politics out of all of these procedures, unlike other folks. And you can chortle all you want, Mr. Wilson. I think this is out of order. Yeah.
Explain that.
I'm not going to dignify that with an answer, but I think you're out of order, and I think that the candidates don't have to take questions from the public. However, if they would like to, that's up to them as residents and as candidates.
Okay? May I just clarify? I've been as clear as possible that we're not asking anyone to take questions from the public. We're asking if anyone would like to make a comment about the process.
What I'm trying to avoid, Mr. Mayor, is somebody coming up that has an agenda against one of those candidates and is going to start throwing darts. And that's what we shouldn't have here.
Can we agree for that?
A lot of contention within this election. We have to be even-handed about all that. That's all the point I'm making.
I would love for everyone to be even-handed all evening. Seeing no one coming forward, no additional person coming forward, yes?
I guess I like to say I know every one of those candidates, any one of them is going to do a very good job. So let's move forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else coming forward for a public comment? Yes.
Are you setting a precedent that we'll be doing this each and every time we have this type of position to fill?
This is highly unusual, so
unusual. We just had Mr. Wilson fill another.
And that was the second time in memory. So.
And we didn't do this procedure. Are we going to do this procedure when it comes to electing a mayor?
Victor? If I can speak.
I want to know.
Victor?
What?
There were three people in the audience last night.
Did they have to answer questions? Subjected to comments from the public?
There were no questions.
Were they offered?
I believe so.
I don't think so. Again, I'll ask, is this the procedure we're going to use to elect a mayor?
I hear your comment.
I hear it doesn't do me very well.
Any other public comments? Seeing no one else coming forward, is there a motion to close public comment?
So made.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So, at this time, any further discussion from the committee? Or is there a motion to nominate one of the three candidates for the vacant seat? And just for the public's information, so the way this process works is the Republican committee was given 15 days to provide candidates. They provided it well within that 15 days. This committee then, from 15 days from the date of Mark Law's resignation, this committee has 30 days, and correct me if I'm misstating anything, 30 days from that date of resignation to choose from the three that are provided to the committee. In the event that this committee is not able to choose one of those three, on the 31st day or thereafter, the local Republican committee chooses among the three on the 30th day.
On the 31st day.
The 31st day is what I said.
And then we have 15 days thereafter.
So the Republican committee can then tell the township which of the three will be seated.
Earlier. I did speak to the county clerk about the procedure because I want to make sure we're doing this correctly. And the county clerk advised me that The 15 days ran concurrently with the 30, right?
Correct.
Matt's of the belief, as the township attorney, that that happens, as you just stated, that the county clerk is not. The county clerk advised me that once potentially there's a deadlock here tonight and you don't make a selection of our three candidates, it comes back to the municipal Republican committee. We make a selection, we vote, which we have a meeting scheduled, which was noticed, and then that person that was selected would be immediately sworn in by either Matt, yourself, or Karen Sandors. That was my understanding from the county clerk. Matt and I talked about it. If we have to wait that long, fine. I'm going to speak, and Matt's going to speak with Mary Melfi tomorrow and make sure that we're clear on that.
I mean, whatever the experts tell us the process
is, exactly.
We'll be followed.
I don't claim to be anything.
But just in concept, then, if we don't choose, if this committee doesn't choose among the three with a majority vote of three votes within the 30 days from the date of Mark's resignation, then the Republican committee will choose and seat a member, have as a member sworn in. So, again, any further discussion or a motion for one of the three?
I would like to make a motion to nominate Mr. Falconeri for the Township Committee.
And I would wholeheartedly second that motion. I think he's a very impressive individual. Any discussion from the committee? There's a motion and a second. Roll call?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. So we're deadlocked on Mr. Falconeri. Motion does not pass. Any other motions for the individuals?
I motion Mr. Cryan.
I will second that.
Any discussion from the committee? Roll call?
No.
Abstain.
No.
No. Any other motions?
I like the motion, Mr. Abakowski. I think he's, out of the three candidates, provides someone that will be reasonable to all sides of the township. As you know, last year he lost an election by a razor-thin vote of possibly four or five votes. I think that shows that the township would gladly accept Mr. Abakowski to fill the unexpired term of Mark Law, as along with his 17 years on the Planning Board, Board of Adjustment, currently serving on the Planning Board in tune to the issues that are before the Planning Board, previously served on the Township Committee. I think it makes the most sense. And I motion Mr. Abakowski to join us for the unexpired term.
So if I could make part of the discussion here. I don't at all disagree with the high praise to Mr. Abakowski and his service. My concern actually echoes the longstanding position of Mr. Wonder, Mr. Skidmore in the back. I would note that there are two members already of this committee on the 12-member Republican committee.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Abakowski is also on that Republican committee.
Mm-hmm.
If he were seated, we would then have a majority of this committee that are members of the local Republican committee, and we'd have interlocking boards that I think...
Oh, are you saying there's anything that is...
I can't hear you because of the...
Excuse me?
I can't hear you. Yeah.
I'm wondering if there's anything that Mr. Committeeman Schmidt is saying that is done wrongfully here.
No, I'm not saying it's illegal.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm in agreement with Mr. Wonder and Mr. Skidmore, who've said for years that some separation of control. No, I'm not saying there's anything illegal or wrong.
I just want to make sure that
no, it's
because it's perfectly
allowed.
acceptable what's taking place here.
I never
it may be
to
not,
hint that.
Not for yourself, but...
I didn't mean to hint that.
Mr. McKee, I'd like to correct you on one issue that you brought up, and you said that there was a razor-thin margin in the election. I'll remind you, that was in the primary.
Okay.
Okay,
the
general election, it wasn't razor thin.
Oh, well, that depends how you look at it, but I'm not going to go there. The proper candidate is before us right now. There's a motion on the dais. We have a dissenter.
We're looking for a second.
Second.
So there's a second. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
And as I said, I would vote no. Yes, abstain, yes, and no.
Matt, where does that prevail?
We've deadlocked.
I don't know. The abstain might not.
Now, the replacement requires a majority of the remaining four members. It requires three affirmative votes per statute.
So the committee is deadlocked on the nominees tonight. The process will send them back to the Republican Committee for their selection. So with that, we're ready to continue on with the rest of the agenda. And I meant to say earlier in the agenda that I'd like to thank the school for providing this facility to us. The school staff takes some extra effort. Our DPW does the setup. They'll do the takedown. We appreciate that. Our clerk and deputy clerk take a lot of extra additional logistics. Another housekeeping item on that is one of the rules of the school is that we have to be out of the building by 10 p.m., as many of you who have attended planning boards and the like mean. The implication is by 9:30 we need to be closing down the meeting, depending on where we are, so just wanted to give everyone warning on that. So next on the agenda would be presentation of minutes. We've got the minutes of the regular and executive session meetings of July 20th. The committee has had an opportunity to review. Any discussion? Motion to adopt the minutes?
We're doing both regular and executive session.
That's okay, unless anyone wants to call it out separately.
Could you speak into the microphone? I can't hear you.
Yes, I said we're doing regular and executive session minutes. Is that correct?
As long as no one requests them separately, we'll do those together.
I would like to make a correction to the minutes. I would like my name reflected in the minutes as Guy R. Wilson instead of Guy Wilson. Since there appears to be some problem with my name and its association with certain situations.
Any other discussion on the minutes? Is there a motion to adopt the minutes amended as Mr. Wilson proposes?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
There's no further discussion. Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. For the minutes of October 5th, 2020, regular session, I would ask that we table those minutes. I have a number of issues that I'd like to review in those minutes that I didn't have time to over the last few days. So if there's no objection, we'll table those. But we could consider the executive session minutes of October 5th, 2022. We don't discuss executive session minutes, but would there be a motion to approve the executive session minutes?
I would propose that it be corrected again so that my correct name is reflected in the minutes.
So would there be a motion to approve the executive session minutes of October 5th, 2022 as amended, proposed amended by Mr. Wilson?
Well, I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
You second?
I don't know. I heard another second.
No, he did the motion. You would be the second.
I'll be the second. I second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. That takes us to public comment limited to agenda items only. And I would, again, tell everyone we will have a public comment for the cannabis ordinance that's on the agenda. So if you have comments for the cannabis ordinance, you could hold them for a few minutes till we get to that. So any other of the agenda items that people would like to make comments on? Is there a motion to open to public comment limited to agenda items only other than cannabis?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment for agenda items only except for cannabis.
I'll second the motion.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if anyone has a public comment on any items.
Just to be clear, public comments, it has to do with the second page of resolutions and things? Or is that later?
The second page of the, those resolutions would be on. There'll be no.
That for open public comment or just what's.
Specifically, which are you asking? I just missed that.
Like the resolution that you have on for 90, demolition?
Yes, that this would be the time to make a comment
okay.
on that.
I just wanted.
Yep.
So you're authorizing demolition of unsafe structure, which I absolutely agree with. Can you go over the bids and the cost in reference to that? Is that part of this?
I think we'll do that in when we get to that item on the agenda.
Okay.
Especially this first public comment is really a comment, not a question on the agenda.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments on the agenda items? Seeing no one else coming forward, is there a motion to close public comment? Is there a motion to close public comment?
I make a motion we close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. That takes us to the ordinance portion of the meeting. Ordinance 2022-10, prohibiting the operation of all classes of medicinal cannabis businesses. This ordinance went to the planning board for their input. We have a memo from the planning board clerk. A couple of key points of the action unanimously taken by the planning board. The first action was unanimous, and this is their key legal input, which is that there are no provisions of the ordinance which are inconsistent with the Lebanon Township Master Plan. They also did forward a couple of changes that they would request be considered by the Township Committee. The first is to remove, as labeled, the last whereas clause on page 1. The last whereas clause on page 1 says, whereas the Township Committee and the Township of Lebanon has determined that the presence of ATCs, alternative treatment centers, and other medicinal cannabis establishments in the township would be inconsistent with the efforts in the township's public and private schools to promote respect for the law and discourage substance abuse and necessary and appropriate and in the best interests of the health, safety, and welfare of the township's residents. Is there discussion by, we'll take the amendments one by one, if there's a discussion by the committee or a motion to strike that as recommended we consider by the planning board?
I would make a motion we strike that, but I believe that that should not have been included in the first place because it's not really planning related.
Mr. Wilson's motion is to strike that last whereas on
yes.
page 1?
Yep.
That's correct, Tom.
My comment to that is that if you recall when we introduced this ordinance, I thought we need to be careful about that comment, not to stigmatize medicinal cannabis because many people do need it. But I don't believe that it endangers the ordinance in any way. And given that any changes I might have mentioned this, any changes we make to the ordinance tonight would require republication. I would not agree to strike that last whereas because I think it's I think the interest of moving forward with the ordinance overwhelms to me the sort of issue that's
I would comment that this is a memo from the planning board and they're generally in charge of the planning of the township. We have the ultimate say. Could I finish my sentence, please? I don't appreciate it when I'm trying to speak. So, a little civility. That's what we need here. Civility.
You speak over people all the time.
You're doing it right now. So, I don't agree with that position. I think we should take that last whereas and take it out of there because I do not think it's defensible if this township gets involved in a lawsuit. When you take that in consideration of the other whereas, which talks about controlled dangerous substances, and given the fact that it appears, or it has appeared, that there's a possibility the federal government may actually get rid of marijuana as being a controlled dangerous substance. It hasn't happened, but there seems to be talk about that. At the very least, can I finish, please? I would say that the last whereas should be taken out.
Is there any further discussion or a second for that motion?
Are we going to take these one by one? Because there's the other one.
Yeah, we'll take it one by one. Just to,
so
there's so a motion.
The other whereas, are we adopting the planning board's recommendations?
We're taking each recommendation separately, so the narrow motion right now is to strike the last whereas on the first page as recommended by the planning board. There's a motion to do that. I've given my opinion that I would not support that motion. We're looking to see if there's a second.
Mr. Wilson, would
you be supportive of the ordinance as it stands?
That's my position, yes. But, I mean, we'll discuss the second recommendation separately.
And, Mr. Wilson, would you be supportive of the ordinance moving forward in general if we took that paragraph out?
Absolutely. The only question I would add to that, and I'd ask legal counsel, is that whereas so important to the ordinance itself that it would require further action or delay things?
The safest and most prudent manner to deal with the complete excision of that paragraph would be to re-advertise a public hearing in order to ensure its enforceability.
If that's the case, based on legal advice, I withdraw my motion. Now that was for the first whereas.
If there's no other discussion on excising the last whereas, we'll move on to the second recommendation from the planning board. So the second recommendation from the planning board is the third whereas paragraph on page one. And for ease for the audience, the way it currently reads, this is the whereas. It says, whereas Lebanon Township is located in the New Jersey Highlands and regulated and governed by the preservation and planning areas of the Highlands. The recommendation from the planning board is to invert some of the words, and you'll hear one additional word, predominantly. So they would propose that we say, Lebanon Township is located in the New Jersey Highlands region, predominantly within the preservation area, and is regulated and governed by the provisions of the Highlands Regional Master Plan.
Again, I would ask legal counsel as to whether or not that change is significant enough that it would require further notification. It seems to me it's a clarification of what is that paragraph.
I concur that it's of less significance, but again, the ultimate protection is to not alter the document. The safest ground is to not all. The planning board has complied with the statute by issuing the consistency ruling. That is the main reason. We are in the whereas clauses, which are supportive but not operational. The safest harbor here is to not alter the document. I do not disagree that it is of a less significant change, but that's the safest way to proceed.
I'll be honest with you. I'd like to put a motion on the table to accept the ordinance as is, as was.
Can you add to that that we note the planning board's comments about the ordinance?
I'm sorry that we
don't have any disparaging comments. I respect them.
No, just note them and respect what they've presented to us as part of the process. Would you amend that? I would second it if you did that.
Say that again, please.
In other words, what I'm saying to you is you're making a wholesale motion to approve as is. I would like to add to that. We note the comments of the planning board and that you respect the comments that they've made in regard to that ordinance.
I do respect the comments.
I'm asking you to make that
motion. And that would go with my motion to move this ordinance number 22-10 as is, as was presented to the planning board with no changes, but I do respect the comments by the planning board.
I'll second the motion.
And just to be clear, this is not yet the motion to adopt this ordinance because we need to open the public hearing before we adopt this. This is to have no amendments to the ordinance, then we'll open the public hearing, and then we'll have a vote on adopting the ordinance. So your motion is that we
The motion is to leave as is.
No amendments.
With respect to the planning board, there's a motion, there's a second.
Motion, second, roll call.
Thank you. Yes.
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 Yes. So at this time, we would now open the public hearing for Ordinance 2022-10, prohibiting the operation of all classes of medicinal cannabis. As notice to the public, no changes to that. Is there a motion to open the public hearing?
I'll make that motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. We received one public comment by email, a person who couldn't be here tonight. Leslie Wurstein Hahn asked that we read, I'm sorry I'm unable to attend the meeting to make these comments. Thank you for reading them. I oppose this ordinance and urge the Township Committee to vote against it. Whether or not the NAR Group application to grow marijuana for medical use was appropriate for the property on Anthony Road, it is a mistake, as the saying goes, to throw the baby out with the bathwater. It is a short-sighted and fiscally irresponsible for the Township to ban the cultivation of medical marijuana anywhere within the Township's borders. Instead, Lebanon Township should follow the lead of municipalities and have established zoning and business regulations that enable these facilities to operate in appropriate locations, taking into account environmental and other considerations. Doing so could provide a significant source of revenue for the Township and relief for taxpayers, in addition to benefits for the Lebanon Township friends and neighbors who rely on medical marijuana for their health. During discussions on the NAR application, some opponents said the Township would receive no financial benefit beyond property taxes from a medical marijuana business. That is not necessarily true. While New Jersey law does not have specific provisions for a medical marijuana business to pay host towns a tax based on revenues, as it does for recreational marijuana, it appears that towns can require financial contributions as part of a host agreement. It can also set zoning requirements for these kinds of businesses to address concerns about noise, odor, appearance, traffic, security, etc. Included with my comments is the April 29, 2022 host agreement between West Amwell Township and the Green Medicine NJ LLC. As part of the agreement, Green Medicine makes an annual contribution to the Township to mitigate the financial impact of its medical marijuana growing operation. The annual contribution equals 2% of gross revenues. In addition, Green Medicine contributes a $500,000 community fee paid over 5 years and a $50,000 for Community Park. The agreement also states expectations for providing education programs and cooperating with Township officials and public safety professionals on health and safety issues. Even if Lebanon Township did not want to allow as a wide variety of cannabis businesses as West Amwell has with its ordinances, why should we hastily shut down the possibility of a beneficial arrangement without investigating ways to make it work? Instead of banning the cultivation of medical marijuana, Lebanon Township should view it as an opportunity to benefit residents who rely on it while easing the burden on taxpayers. With careful consideration of appropriate land use and attention to environmental protection and other community concerns, it can be done. Please vote no on this ordinance. I would respond to her comment, and I could have made this point earlier. You'll recall when we debated introducing this ordinance, there are people who question the enforceability of it. What we need to do and what was discussed with the planning board and is underway with the planner is we need a comprehensive regulation in our township, something that doesn't just ban something like medicinal cannabis or recreational cannabis. Keep in mind, recreational cannabis, the statute that lets us ban that expires in 5 years, in which case we're then not allowed to ban it. But if we go through a scientific engineering study that says, what is our aquifer? How much water could be taken out? And if somebody wants to truck water around, what kind of capacity would our roads handle? That is the way that we regulate an operation, and that is, as we discussed, what needs to be done through our planner. The Highlands Council, I've contacted them. This isn't action right now, but the Highlands Council would fund us probably through a grant to work on those issues, how much water could be used, how much water couldn't be used. That way, if somebody challenges, in the current ordinance, if somebody challenges and finds a constitutional or whatever reason that says this ordinance isn't valid, they get to come in and do it. If we regulate it and say either the water table supports it or doesn't support it, that's the better way, that's the more solid way to regulate this industry. And it would apply to any hydroponic agriculture. It would also allow us to to study and understand and better define our term farm. Those of you who spend a lot of time in the planning board meetings, farm is now not well defined given the new technologies around farming. We need to upgrade our ordinances with that. So if there are any other members of the public we're in the public comment period now, public hearing. If there are any members of the public who would like to make a comment on the ordinance.
Do we have to open it? Did we open it?
We opened it, yeah. I'm sorry. We are open. That letter with the public comment.
That was a nice long letter that I haven't heard this committee read a letter like that in the past, anytime recent. So putting that aside, I do agree with...
Can I ask you a question? Should he identify himself for the record?
He's not required to.
You're Mr. Bone, right?
Bill Bone, Wood Glen Road. Do you want to see my ID? Because I'm not sure if you will. Are you the real Guy R. Wilson?
That's what we really want to know.
Does the clerk have your birth certificate?
Excuse me?
Does the clerk have your birth certificate on file?
It's public comment now. We'll let the member of the public...
All kidding aside, it gets a little stressful, so we throw a zinger out there. Thank you for the comments that you made and the concerns in reference to the ordinance. And as you know, you unanimously discussed and voted for it, and so we can move on. There's a lot of work to be done in the coming months and years to strengthen our zoning ordinances, as you said. And I'm very familiar with planning and zoning and things like that. So there is a lot of... They have to be strengthened so we can protect this town. Putting that aside, the last time I was here, I recommended that the council, the committee, and the planning board meet together so there can be a very productive meeting and everybody's on the same page. So I don't know if, I don't think because of sunshine laws, you couldn't be at the planning board meetings, all of you. So it was one person that made a comment. And it was really, it doesn't affect our ordinance. So I'm glad that guy, you saw that, and we move on from this, and we're not holding up the ordinance and delaying, because the amount of stuff that I have gotten in reference to if this ordinance is delayed, and it's ridiculous. And I don't want to get into it, but the speculation, conspiracy theories, and all about this with cannabis cartel and everything else, it's just like, hopefully we just move on with this and keep working to make this town better. This town is being poached because of our because we need to strengthen our zonings, and we have the outside trying to push in. So we're waking up now. We're going to have to focus on this and really go through everything to strengthen it so we can keep our quality of life, our health, our kids. Everybody's safe, and continue what we have here, because we have a hidden gem here. It's not as hidden as it used to be, but we still have a gem, and that's one of the reasons I'm here. And I think you get the point, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Any other member of the public that would like to make a comment on the ordinance that's before us?
Hi, Christine Wojcik, Littlebrook Road. I guess my comment is more in line with, I know you're talking about the future and shoring up our rules and regulations for how and who can operate here, but my concern is enforcement. We have people already doing things without permission, and what, they have to pay a fine? Fines are nothing for big companies that want to come in here. What can we do to prevent people from running roughshod over our rules and just writing a check? We need enforcement. Thank you.
Hi, Eric Shogren on Chipmunk Pass. Just a small point of clarification. So, Mr. Wilson, you brought up the declassification of Schedule 1 marijuana on a federal level. And you're right, but it has been tried since the early 70s. So it, as a pharmacist and somebody who's worked in the industry for like 25 years, this has been talked about over and over and over. And if you go on, like Wikipedia, it'll have a long, lengthy history. So I may not be good on the 10th Amendment, but I would suggest that that the idea that President Biden signed an executive order and we're going to decriminalize marijuana on a DEA, HHS, and FDA level is just not really likely, in my opinion. So I just want to clarify that for the township.
You might like to comment on
that. Sure.
Okay, what I was going to say is that he has sorry about that. Never get used to this. He really has no authority to do that. It's going to take an act of Congress. Am I correct?
And it could be flipped. And Congress has tried it numerous times, and it's never succeeded.
What do you think the possibility is that after the election, if things go a certain way, that the lame duck Congress could do something like that? Do you think that's a possibility?
In my opinion, no.
Okay.
And that's just me. I'm an N of one. I just wanted to throw it out there based on my background. Thank you for your time. Okay.
Thank you.
Christine DiLorenzo, Teetertown Road. I guess this is in response to the letter that you just read. Crime. Crime and cannabis have a long and complex history. Marijuana is both a cause and object of criminality. You are aware that cannabis operations can and do attract organized crime, cartels, and gangs. And don't think it can't happen here in Lebanon Township. In a March 3rd, 2021 article in Forbes magazine, they say, quote, U.S. cannabis sales hit record $17.5 billion as Americans consume more marijuana than ever before. The article also states, quote, the bulk of the cannabis industry is still in the black market. Illicit cannabis sales are estimated to be more than $100 billion each year. Okay? $17.5 billion legally, $100 billion illegally. Both legal and illegal growers dump their marijuana onto black markets. Why? Because they make more money that way. They also dump their marijuana onto black markets when there's a glut of supply. And with the way New Jersey is passing out conditional licenses like they were candy, supply of both recreational marijuana and medical cannabis will very soon greatly exceed the demand. How many conditional licenses has the New Jersey CRC approved? October 28th this year, they approved 297, bringing the total number of conditional licenses awarded since March to 801. Okay? As a result of these growing facilities and other types of marijuana businesses being in bed with organized crime, incursions can happen on neighbors' properties. I can just see it now, cars driving around Lebanon Township, casing people's homes and property, and then breaking in. I can also see cartels purchasing large parcels of land in Lebanon Township, becoming good neighbors and setting up illegal marijuana operations. I can also see them setting up legal operations, too. For example, the Colorado Attorney General's office stated that legalization, quote, has inadvertently helped fuel the business of Mexican drug cartels. Cartels are trading drugs like heroin for marijuana, and the trade has since opened the door to drug and human trafficking. Close quote. Local officials said that Mexican cartels were growing marijuana under the cover of legal operations in Colorado and using that to fuel the black market in other states. As you know, cannabis is illegal according to federal law, meaning most banking institutions cannot provide banking services to cannabis businesses. The result, high amounts of cash on the property that is a target for theft and related violence. The other thing about organized crime, cartels, and gangs, they like to take control of just about anything and everyone. Mayors, other governing bodies, the police, other businesses,
and the neighborhoods they live in. A decision to allow cannabis cultivation in Lebanon Township is not for the public good. It's a risky idea with possible harmful consequences to all of us. Why would you want to take that risk? A risk that could ruin certain people's reputations and jobs, a risk that could turn a peaceful, picturesque township into a stomping ground for undesirables. Again, don't think it can't happen here in Lebanon Township, because there's a 50-50 chance it can. Thank you.
Keith Galloway, Mount Lebanon Road. My family's been affected by marijuana. Not my immediate family, but my family. I have a nephew that's had nothing but problems. He spent 4.5 out of a 7-year term in Waco, Texas. He would rent motel rooms, and through the night, they'd sell $18,000 to $20,000 worth of marijuana. His father died early, I would say, because of all the problems. And unfortunately, my sister-in-law and brother had to put a deadbolt on their bedroom door because they were afraid he would come in and kill them. This is a problem, and it blossoms, and it gets worse. And they're not satisfied with the marijuana. They'll go on to the heroin. And don't tell me there isn't fentanyl in this county. I guarantee you there's fentanyl in here. Do any of you people want to have any of your family take fentanyl? Because that's going to be a step that you're going to have to address. And we're going to be here talking about that some night. You've got to stop this garbage. And the state's only interested in one thing, tax revenue. They're losing it on cigarettes, so they're going to make it up on marijuana because it's an immediate change. You've got to start thinking and be reasonable.
Sharon Petzinger, Dogwood Drive. First, I want to thank you for posting the draft ordinance online. I thought that was great. I don't say I enjoyed reading it, but I enjoyed being able to look through it and be able to come up with some comments. So the first thing I want to say is there is a legitimate concern about water use and availability in our township. And I don't think the clause, whereas the Township Committee of the Township of Lebanon has determined that uses that violate the intent of the Highlands Act should be prohibited uses, will hold enough water when challenged. The clause also concerns me because the term intent is subjective. There can be multiple intents to the Highlands Act, and I just want to make sure we don't open the door to unintended consequences. And so I wasn't sure what the committee was going to decide on. I know if you make substantial changes, you have to reintroduce it. It's going to take longer. So I came up with two options. Hopefully a quick and easy fix that maybe you can move forward with it and not have to change anything drastically and move. And then more details, which I can give you. You can decide whether to take it or leave it, but maybe it can be used for the planning board. So the quick and easy fix would be to clarify that clause that I just mentioned to include that the intent of the Highlands Act as it pertains to water use and availability. So just adding that clarifying clause to it. The other option was to nix that clause and replace it with specific information about net water availability of our aquifers, because there's data to back up that it's a legitimate concern. So in terms of the intent of the Highlands Act, it covers more than water and increased use of water and development on drinking water supplies. It also talks about regulating wildlife habitat. It talks about contiguous forests, maybe even view sheds. And so all of these can be interpreted as intents. And so as an example of an unintended consequence, there are people, not in this township, but people in New Jersey, that are trying to use the intent of the Highlands Act, among other things, to stop forest management. And they're trying to do this by removing its exemption from the Highlands Act. So this won't bode well for many of our residents if that comes to play into this township, because many of our residents have forest management plans for their properties. It's also possible the intent of the Highlands Act can be used to stop building new houses, since that seems to be what most of the regulations of the Highlands Act are about. And also we want to think about regulating water usage. Do we want to do that during droughts? I think that's an unintended consequence we don't want our farmers to have to face. So with the data, if I may provide you with what I have.
Thank you. Sharon, do you have anything for the public?
Thank you. It'll be a public document afterward.
Yeah, I'll
for tonight, we will.
Thank you.
Okay, so in terms of the data that back up that water use and availability is a legitimate concern in our township, the first map comes from the Highlands Interactive Mapping Service. So Lebanon Township is outlined in black, and you can see different colors. Those are the different sub-watersheds. Now, if it's in the yellows, oranges, or reds, that means there's a net water availability deficit currently. If it's in the blues, that means there's a surplus in terms of what's being put into the ground, into the aquifer, and what's being taken out. So you can see that most of the sub-watersheds in Lebanon Township have a deficit in net water availability. You know, specifically, to mention sub-watershed 8, which is the spruce run above Glen Gardner, its net water availability is negative 0.08 million gallons per day. If you look, and so this is per the Highlands interactive mapping and in the regional master plan. Now, if you go on to the conservation blueprint, which is the next map, which is, there you go. This is a rank of the aquifers in our township. And you can see that most of our township is in the orange, and orange is ranked D from a rank of A to I guess it goes down to E, A being the best, E being the worst. Second to worst in terms of water availability. And so, and that's at 25 to 100 gallons per minute. So this is a conservation blueprint mapping, which is also publicly available. And so what I find surprising, if you look at the third map, the purple map I provided, we have a lot of, the darker the purple in that map, the higher the recharge rate of our groundwater. So we have a deficit in our aquifer despite having high recharge rates, which means we are definitely using more than what's being put in. We're using a lot of water in our township. And so I think it's a legitimate concern. And if there were any substantial changes to the ordinance right now, if you were going to do it, I would advise you to put that data in there, because regardless of whether it's Highlands Act or cannabis, water usage is definitely a really concern. We just want to be very careful that we don't set a precedent of regulating the water use that's going to hurt our farmers. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bill Bone, Woodland Road. And I'm familiar with some of those documents, as I have done some research, and they are technical. There's a lot of information there. Geologists need to be involved, and that's for the planning board to get recommendations from them and go through that process. To delay that process on that wealth of information and all the technicality, I think I would advise against that, because Mr. Lyons advised that pretty much any change of the ordinance could open the door. And I'm sure Mr. Lyons would agree with me that you can go back and amend these ordinances. So let's get it. Let's go back, and there's a lot of homework, a lot of things to be done, so we can go back and amend it as we need fit. But the important thing is that we move forward.
I'm Bob Mickle, 676 Woodland Road.
In reference to the letter that you read that the person couldn't be here, I don't need their name. Could you tell me where they live in the township?
Okay, they did put out, I thought I mentioned it out. It's Leslie Wurstein Hahn on Lanning Lane.
On what?
Lanning Lane,
off of Hill Road.
Small road off of Hill Road.
Off Hill Road.
Off of Hill Road.
Just past
okay.
Here.
Well, they are far enough away that this plant will not affect them. It'll affect me and other people in this room. And I've referred to it before. You go to Reddington where the existing plant is, and it still stinks. Now, I've talked to this committee before, the planning board. I don't want my life to be influenced by this plant. I'm 1,500 feet away from it. And I think you need to take that in consideration. We are taxpayers in this township. I've lived here 32 years, just like you, but nobody lives on this committee as close as I do. So when something happens and the proverbial, you know what, hits the fan, who do I go to? I mean, the stuff they're talking about down, let alone the marijuana itself, which I don't agree with, but from the standpoint of the disturbance to this community in this residential area is alarming. And I think you need to really look at this from a personal perspective of what it's going to mean to the people that live close to that facility. And the other thing you said, Mr. Mayor, was you talked about after the letter, you talked about, you know, we have to look at, I think, and I could have, not to quote you, you're talking about zoning and things, and you brought up we have to look at agriculture. We know what agriculture is in this township. This facility is not agriculture. Now, I brought up information back in September. I gave you documentation. Now, any agriculture operation or facility in this township can be covered by the right to farm. They can be considered as a commercial farm. They have the Right to Farm Act protection, and they can be considered a commercial farm. Now, this facility, not by my words, but by the CREM Act itself, by the Cannabis Regulatory Commission, specifically says, and I gave you all a handout of that page, I think it's page 44, it says exactly what I just talked about. It cannot be, cannabis cannot, medicinal and recreational is not covered by the right to farm. It is not covered under a commercial operation, and it cannot be farm assessed. The other thing in part of the farm assessment, most of the operations, farms that are in this township, when you look at farm assessment, most of the operators or owners, they try to maximize their acreage for farm assessment. And I think this, go back to what they've done, they got a forestry plan based on less than 17% of their total acreage of 7 acres. They threw a bunch of papers together. I don't know if you've seen it, but if you look at it, they have pictures in there representing this property based on pictures of this farm in the 1930s. To me, that is disingenuous from their standpoint, and it's just a ploy. And I brought it up at the planning board meeting the other night, too, that farm assessment for this operation, if and when it kicks in, number one, doesn't cover the cannabis operation at all. Secondly, it does not kick in for 3 years. In the third year, no matter what happens down here, I can guarantee you they're going to walk away from it. So don't be fooled by this idea that they're going to be farm assessed on a woodlot management, which is a de minimis operation or a plan to begin with. I've worked with this for the last 30-some years in my job as extension agent. I've worked with the forestry industry. I've worked with farm assessment, woodlot management. If they were truly interested in a woodlot management, they would have put the maximum acreage on that site in the plan,
which now, if after they hear me talking about it, they'll probably come back with that. But they need a wood stand management. They need to have an analysis of what trees are there that they can harvest it. And I tell you, most of the trees there, there's a small number of hardwood trees. They're second growth. The majority of the trees that are on that site are ash trees that are already dead. And they're going to be harvesting $500 of firewood every year. I mean, come on. So I'm very upset, and I'm emotional about it because it's going to affect my life, my standard of life. I like to go back in my backyard on my patio and be able to have a drink, cook my steak on it, and enjoy the atmosphere. But let me tell you, if you allow that to go in, you're going to ruin my life and everybody probably in a mile radius of that. So please take that in consideration.
If I could just make one response, and I'm in no way disagreeing, I'm completely agreeing, but a concern when I say we need to go into more detailed zoning, the Cannabis Regulatory Commission, with a stroke of a pen, could change everything that you just said. You said, for example, it doesn't qualify for right to farm, etc. And that's my point. Oh, exactly. And that's why I'm not disagreeing with. But that's why we need more comprehensive zoning. So if Trenton decides to change with a stroke of a pen, that we're ahead of it. That's the plan.
Can I make a point of clarification? Do they have a woodland management plan?
I want to say we're here tonight in a matter of general application.
Okay. And I
think the public has a right to comment,
right.
But I don't think the board should consider
on a
particular application that is not before us, because I don't believe it advances what we're here to do tonight. And I'll leave it at that. Again, not to curtail public, but the members of the Township Committee, we need to focus on the matter that is under consideration.
Thank you.
Okay, Christine Mojic, Little Brook Road. Again, this is kind of going into the disingenuous comment and some information that was brought up by a township resident at the last meeting when they went into the application and they found two letters that supported, supposedly, our town supporting their license. And you agreed that letter from you was not support for this. So I want to know, what can we do as a town what can we do with the CRC and tell them this is not permitted? You gave them the license erroneously. You need to stop it or pause it or do something. Why can't we do something now when we know they've used information that was not correct to get a license? I'm asking why they're not doing something.
I think, as the attorney said, we'll comment related to the ordinance before us, and we'll take your comment.
I know you did it. That's you, the person. But I'm asking why they're not doing something about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Lisa, and I live on Dewey Lane. What Christine DiLorenzo read, as far as the crime, that is the element that was mentioned that comes into play that you have no idea, but it exists. And what she read is fact. I wish that would be at the top of the consideration list. And forget the money, the supposed money. No, sir. And yes, I live very close, just as Bob does. So it would have a huge impact on my life and my surroundings. And I have lived in this township 30 years as well. So please, when they talk about crime, do you have to hear any more? The elevation of crime. We don't need that in this township. We don't want it in this township. Please, listen. Don't only just hear, but listen. And please follow facts. And if you want a good book to read, it's called Tell Your Children. It's all about the growth and the corruption that has gone into where we are in this country with the phenomenon of marijuana. It's an excellent book. Berenson, former investigative New York Times reporter, wrote it. I highly suggest. It's a quick read, it's very informative, and it is fact. And it backs up everything that Ms. DiLorenzo read. Thank you.
Any other member of the public coming forward to make a comment on the cannabis ordinance?
Yeah, I'm Rich Webb, Anthony Road. I just want to thank the members of the committee for putting your differences aside tonight and agreeing to pass this ordinance in the form that you unanimously approved the last time. I think it's a good ordinance. It's not perfect, but it's good. And I think to the extent you want to address the kinds of things the mayor alluded to, there's going to be plenty of time to do that in the proper time and place with the proper research. But tonight you did the right thing to bring this to a conclusion. It's been hanging out there for over a year, and I appreciate the fact that you came together to do that. I also want to thank all the people here for being behind this movement and for really being responsible for what's going to happen here tonight. It's a good night for Lebanon Township. Thank you.
Any other public comment on the cannabis ordinance? Okay.
And Annex 112 Mount Top Road, about this cannabis, where it's located, is in an agriculture, residential, or commercial zone. I don't know exactly how it's done, but producing miracle, medical marijuana is a manufacturing business, which is considered industry, and I know that it's not considered industrial. George Simon had it. He was repackaging different things, aerosols and perfumes and shaving cream and all this stuff. But he wasn't manufacturing this stuff. He was only packaging it. Before that, it was originally a poultry farm. And when I was a real little kid, I don't remember what the fellow's name was, but I believe he was the township road supervisor. So I've been around here a long time, but this is what's going on now, and even all the rigmarole, I hear stories that they're still working over there, doing what they want, and it shouldn't be allowed. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the public coming forward for a comment on the ordinance? Seeing no one else coming forward, is there a motion to close public comment or public hearing on the ordinance?
I'd like the motion to close public comment on the ordinance.
Public hearing, yes. Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, would there be a motion to adopt Ordinance 2022-10, prohibiting the operation of all classes of medicinal cannabis businesses and amending section of Lebanon Township Chapter 400 zoning.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Continuing on to the rest of the agenda, we have Resolution 94-2002, authorizing the demolition of an unsafe structure located at 209 Raritan River Road. The background here is that Lebanon Township has a shared service agreement with Tewksbury for our construction code enforcement office. They collect all the fees and they perform the enforcement. This house at 2009 Redden River Road came to their attention as an unsafe structure. It's an imminently danger of collapsing toward the neighboring property. So they received a court order pursuant to the code and the ordinance against the owner of the property, permitting the Tewksbury Construction Office to demolish the unsafe structure. Tewksbury has taken a narrow view of demolition to be that they will knock down, they will pay to knock down the structure. And they've received a number of proposals, and they have chosen Cedar Ridge Landscaping and Excavating for a contract of $3,500 to knock down the structure. What we now need to do would be they pay to knock it down. Because it's in our municipality, we have to authorize them to come into our municipality and then to put a tax lien on the property so if the property, when and if the property is stolen, sold, they would get their payment, their cost reimbursed. Yes. Last, in an executive session, we discussed this, and we asked our DPW manager to get a quote to add on the cleanup of the debris, because we don't want to leave a property with all the debris left on the property. Cedar Ridge has given us a quote in the amount of $9,225 to do the cleanup from the demolition. We would also put a lien on the property, so when and if that property is sold, Lebanon Township would recoup that cost, but for the time being, we would be required to pay that. The total amount to pay to Cedar Ridge for the demolition and the cleanup is $12,725. So the resolution 94-2002 before us has a number of parts to be resolved. One is the destruction of the unsafe structure located on property identified as Block 16, Lot 2 on Mount Lebanon tax map located at 2009 Redden River Road is hereby authorized. The tax collector is authorized to place a lien on the property in the amount of $3,500 to reimburse the Township of Tewksbury for the demolition. The Township of Lebanon hereby awards a contract to Cedar Ridge Landscaping and Excavating for the removal of debris following demolition in the amount of $9,225. And the tax collector is hereby authorized to place a second lien on the property in the amount of $9,225 to reimburse Lebanon Township for the removal of the debris. Discussion from the committee.
If we put liens on the property, is it a property that's saleable? Is it marketable in any way, shape, or form once the structure is removed, along with the debris?
You'd have to ask an appraiser if the value of the property is in excess of the liens. I don't know that number. From the tax value, I believe it is, but I wouldn't want to represent whether it's saleable or not.
Do we know what the value of the property is in terms of the assessment?
Off the top of my head, I do not.
Do we know how many acres it is?
I believe it's a quarter acre. I mean, these are questions that shouldn't really be put to the mayor.
No, I'm not asking. I don't expect you to know that. Okay. But anyway, anybody can go online and get
right.
that. Maybe
exactly.
I should have done that before this meeting. Exactly. The point is that at some point down the road, it would appear to me, even with a quarter acre lot, that we would be able to recoup those funds at some point if somebody wants to purchase that property. Is it close enough to any kind of state-owned property at all?
Well,
do we know that?
I would just add that the condition of the structure creates the obligation to act. And
right.
whether we break even or lose money, based on the observations and the findings, we're compelled to act at this point, understanding that the ultimate goal of recouping all of our expenditures is valid. Even if it were shown to not be possible, we're still compelled to act to remedy this dangerous condition.
For public safety and public
Correct.
Health reasons.
Correct.
And therefore, down the road, we might get our money back, maybe not. So.
Correct.
I would note that the owner is current on their property taxes, so that there's no tax liens going on. They're current.
Well, if there's going to be tax lien from the tax assessor or the
Correct.
Tax collector for the debt that's owed to the township,
Correct.
They're never going to be able to, they'll never be able to sell that property without paying it
Right.
off.
Right.
Okay.
Right. That's the
they'll have to pay it to clear title.
Any other discussion on Resolution 94-2022? Or a motion to adopt?
I'll make a motion that we adopt Resolution number 94-2022, authorizing demolition of an unsafe structure located at 209 Raritan River Road South, located in Lebanon Township, and authorizing the tax collector to place a tax lien on the property.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next is Resolution 95-2022, return of overpayment of taxes. Again, another somewhat complicated situation. During the revaluation that we may all recall in 2019, part of that process, we were required to digitize our tax maps. In the process of digitizing the tax map, a portion of lot 10.01 in block 56 had been previously subdivided some 20-some years ago. I don't know the exact date. That 31 acres was merged with the adjoining lot, lot 10, but it was somehow not reflected on the master tax map. It was reflected in the tax assessor's database. During the reval process, when they digitized the tax map, that subdivision and transfer of property was not reflected. So the owner of block 56, lot 10.01, started paying property taxes higher than they should have because they were paying taxes on an additional 31 acres. That's now come to everyone's attention. It's now been corrected. The amount of the overpayment, the action before us is that the tax collector be and hereby is authorized to refund Edward Post the amount of $3,576.35 for the overpayment of property taxes on the property designated as Block 56, Lot 10.01 for the tax years 2020 and 2021 without interest. Such refund shall be provided as a credit to taxes due on the property designated as Block 56, Lot 10.01 on the tax maps of Lebanon Township. Further, the tax collector is hereby authorized to credit Mr. Post the amount of $1,887.07 for overbilled 2022 property taxes on that same property, and they are authorized to correct the tax assessment record for the property to reflect the correct acreage noted in this resolution. Any discussion on refunding the overpayment of taxes on this property?
Mr. Mayor, I have to recuse myself in this matter because I happen to represent the adjoining property owner.
Any other discussion on the resolution?
The only question I had is, so 20 years ago the tax map
something
was
like
not
that.
Updated. Is that what you're saying?
I sent you a photograph of a tax map outside of the zoning, the planning board secretary's office, which shows that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole long list of amendment dates. I wasn't able to track down when that happened, and I didn't go pulling deeds to find that out at this point.
Okay, I was wondering, because I got your letter, and then I saw this, and I was just...
That letter was to reflect that first we didn't know how it happened, and we didn't know if it was a total arbitrary mistake, but it turns out it was, as happens throughout our township, a change, a deed, a lot line adjustment somehow missed getting filed time ago, don't know when.
Okay.
But the fact of the matter is the family has been overpaying taxes in the amount listed, and so this resolution would refund that.
Only a couple of years, and
Any other discussion or motion to approve Resolution 95-2022?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution number 94-2022.
95. I think you missed.
Excuse me.
I think you said 94. You missed.
Oh, I'm sorry. 95-2022, authorizing a refund for the overpayment of property taxes and a correction of the assessment records.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes. He's recused.
Yes. Okay. We have no unfinished business on the agenda. New business item is a shared service agreement with the school district that we're sitting in currently. A number of years ago, we formalized an agreement where the township's DPW department mows much of the lawns for this school and for Woodland School. In the winter, we used to do more of the actual snow plowing. Now they've actually purchased a pickup truck to do some of it, but for the heavy snows, we take care of the snow, we supply them salt. So The shared service agreement has been, as I said, in place a number of years. The proposal is to increase the cost of that by 5% to reflect not only salary increases, but increases in various costs to an amount of $23,562 annually. Any discussion on renewing the shared service agreement with the Lebanon Township Board of Education? Is there a motion to authorize the agreement between the Township of Lebanon and the Township, the Lebanon Township Board of Education?
I'll make a motion to adopt the, or whatever, approve the agreement between the Township of Lebanon and the Lebanon Township Board of Education.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Takes us to presentation of vouchers, where we list, we read out vouchers in excess of $1,000.
I have one before me that's for Gephardt and Kiefer, which is professional service rendered for $2,722.50. I also have one here before me for Finch Oil for oil for station fire station 2-1 and the squad building for $4,937.08. Final one I have here is for Lebanon Township Board of Ed for November 2022 school taxes, $1,110,860.50.
I have for County of Hunterdon, the fourth quarter county tax that we collect and pay to them, $789,837.86. Also to the County of Hunterdon, the open space tax that we collect on their behalf, $78,206.61. M&W Communications, this is for the recently approved police radios that we approved, $5,759. Release of escrow payment from the NAR Group to Bear Reese Engineering in the amount of $5,200. And also release from the Planning Board escrow account to John Galena for $1,312.50.
I have several. Patriotic office cleaning for September for the police department, library, and municipal building in the amount of $1,405. I have a voucher for Warren Asphalt for asphalt of apparently $1,607.03. I have diesel fuel provided by Griffith Allied Trucking, LLC, in the amount of $2,874.75. And Finch Fuel Oil Company for what appears to be fuel oil in the amount of $2,892.44.
Okay. I have one that applies, and it's from the County of Hunterdon Library Treasury Office for the fourth quarter library tax, $78,826.60.
So the total voucher list, including payments out of the Development Escrow Trust, is $2,101,198.72. Is there any discussion or a motion to approve the voucher list?
No, if there's no discussion, I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
I'll second the motion.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Sorry.
We have one item of correspondence. Would you like to read it out, or shall I read it out? It's a commendation to the DPW department.
I can read it.
Okay.
If I can find it.
You read this news.
Thank you. This is correspondence dated October 19, 2022, from Liberation Farm, which is owned by Rob Whiteley. It's to the Mayor Mike Schmidt and the Township Committee from, again, Rob Whiteley. I've lived at 147 Mount Grove Road for 52 years, and I wish to give a shout-out to Warren Gabriel, Kevin Rivers, and the entire Lebanon Township road crew. This team of hardworking people did a fantastic job this year of spreading oil and laying down gravel on our dangerous road that has a current speed limit beyond its safety. With winter approaching, I am extremely grateful for the great job they did preparing the road surface. The workmanship and result is quite extraordinary. I also want to acknowledge the man on the mower that trimmed the brush and growth along our roadway. He did an especially wonderful job this year taking time and extra care to help the neighborhood maintain its beauty for all to enjoy. I try to do the same thing by maintaining my lower fields on Huffman's Crossing Turn so that everyone passes on their way to and from 513 can be proud of our open space and township. May the unified teamwork effort that our road crew demonstrates inspire all of you to work together with less acrimony and rudeness, as the beauty and tranquility of our natural surroundings need to be reflected in the behavior of the humans who are stewards for such a special place. And sincerely yours, Rob Whiteley.
So the remaining item on the agenda is public comment for any topic a member of the public would like to address. Is there a motion to open public comment?
I'll make a motion to open the public comment at all items.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time.
Bill Bonewood, Glen Road. Just to follow up on the demolition, and I know last meeting, I believe it was tabled and went into executive. So for that particular property, because everyone's different, I was there. I took pictures of it. I was like, where's River Road in this town? And it's basically in the gorge behind the high school, somewhere over there. It's the sides are going like this.
Yep.
And there's a river there, and beautiful area. Beautiful area.
If I could interrupt you for a second, we used to party down there, so
there is quite a park familiar back with there. It. I think I saw a tree with your name in it.
Yeah, wonder what else it said.
For procedure-wise, because this was a combined effort, you had to go with the company. But I imagine it's hard to get a second bid on that, and you're pretty much tied into it. And Mr. Lyons did say it's a detriment and it's a safety issue, and I went there. The thing's half caved in. It's a quarter acre. I believe it's quarter acre. It has an outhouse in the back. So there's very difficult to even get a septic and build that. So there's only two options to recoup our money as taxpayers, is to try to, hopefully maybe the owner would try to sell it to the neighbor, or there's power lines there, and I think there's green acres all over that place, and to try to do something like that. But, good job on that. We'll move forward. Moving on to Littlebrook. I have spoken with them recently, Littlebrook Road, where there's a abandoned home for 30 years in wetlands, and the whole thing is, forget it. So it's been an eyesore for some time. I have spoken to the church, and they have told me that they had conversations with Mr. Lyons.
Correct. We spoke after last meeting. We spoke the next day with the contact information you gave me.
Okay, so hopefully we can facilitate that and keep that moving forward. And I also know there's a summons that was issued, and hopefully Mr. Lyons can work that out so it doesn't cost the taxpayers money and maybe put a stay on that while we work through this process.
There was one already granted, but we'll be running into that shortly. But we spoke to, I did speak to the attorney who is representing the church, and there's a discussion. I wouldn't say an agreement. There's some issues to be worked out.
And that's the main thing, is to continue, get the communications going and continue moving forward on these issues that we have in town. That's the main thing. I don't want to just this came up. I didn't want to bring it up before because I didn't want to delay the vote and all that stuff. But it came up a couple times where it was said that if the federal government legalizes marijuana. And the reason I'm bringing this back up is because when this started, I spoke to our state legislators. And the comments that came back from two of them, not just from one, from two of them, basically, if a company can outsource and do this in another country where they have no pollution regulations, they don't have any taxes, or a lot of the stuff is minimal, and they can do it somewhere else, just like everything's gone to China and everywhere else. If the federal government does that, and any of these towns that are used to this revenue source, The first thing the cannabis industry is going to do is say, see you later, goodbye, go to Mexico, develop it there, and bring it back. And all, it's just going to create havoc. So just on other companies have left this country to go somewhere to produce things cheaper, they're going to follow the same route. So we don't want to be short-sighted in if the federal government ever does this. And they probably won't because they're going to lose all that money. So not the federal, but the states and things like that. So that, I'll end it there. And thank you for your efforts and this whole process. And we just have to keep at it because we don't know what tomorrow brings. And thank you.
Bart Lago Marcino, Woodland Heights Circle, also on the Board of Education. Did I hear you first and second a vote that shared services for the board for the schools are going to go up by 5%?
Correct.
I would like to understand why my rates were going to go up by 5% when we bought a truck that's going to plow the snow off of our properties. So you're actually doing less services than you did prior. So I'm doing, if you're doing less, why would my rates go up by 5%?
We discussed that with your superintendent and your.
He could not answer the question either.
Pardon me?
He couldn't answer the question clearly either for me tonight, so.
So I think we would take that offline with our DPW manager and go through more details, but ultimately that's our proposal to your board, and your board can consider that.
I would like to ask for an itemized list of the work that's being done and the price that's associated with those line items. That's a standard government request. So I'd like to see that so that I can go previous year against this year and see where we outline and understand why the rise when I paid to purchase a vehicle to plow the snow. Fair?
I have a question. Are you the business administrator for the board?
Over or finance?
You are?
I am.
Okay.
He's a board member.
I'm the vice president of the Board of Education. I'm also over finance, and then I'm also on personnel, and I'm just five committees now.
Who's the board president?
Or President Stephanie Cahill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And I'm the Vice President. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Lori Hoffman, Buffalo Hollow Road. I'm the chairman of the historians, but I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I'd like to correct a statement that has been made at this committee and is now being put as fact on the informed political page. The three volunteers that resigned from the historian committee in 2021, they didn't want to be reappointed, did not resign because of Bev's Oprah. One moved away and two other had other reasons, and the fourth one can give her own reason. But I want to make that part of the record that they did not resign because of the Oprah. Okay, then when the gentleman here got up and asked about something about that was on the agenda prior, you're saying that you'll make comments at that time, but that doesn't leave us an opportunity to make comments about it because we don't have all the information. So is there a way for us to get the information that you all have before a meeting? Like, can we get all the things in your packet?
That's an ongoing discussion that we work on that we try to get better at. Okay. Some are drafts that don't make sense to distribute. We need to be able to work on drafts, and some we can. And for example, the ordinances we do, but that's a constant.
That's a hard way for us to be able to ask you.
Agreed.
Questions.
Lori, was your question related to the minutes that we table?
No, just general.
It's on the agenda. Whatever's on the agenda, when you're asking a question on the agenda, you're saying wait till we get there, but then we can't comment on it at that time. So how do we have that information to be able to make an informed comment? Okay, the other is, Sharon stated that when she was talking about all the water a lot, I don't understand, but she said we didn't want to get into regulating the use of our water. Is that right, that you didn't want to see that part of what they were talking about?
I think she was specific to farmers, but.
Well, how can we regulate the usage of our water when we all have wells? And that I thought it's because the DEP is responsible, because I've come before this board several times
about the High Bridge Water Company across the street. So now when I want to look at her maps because that concerns me more, because they're taking, literally taking from my aquifer. And if I get, my well goes dry, I have to dig a new well. High Bridge does it. And they don't pay anything for taking that water out of my aquifer. So that's another. Now, when you're doing this, knocking down this house, how come we didn't follow the same process on Route 31 when we did that one house that cost $30,000?
I don't know why. The demolition we were required to do, this was on 10 years ago on Highway 31.
Yeah, on 31. Well,
that was done
Spruce
by
Run
Lebanon
In.
Township
is that what you were talking
alone.
About?
No,
huh?
That was done by Lebanon. That was done by Lebanon Township. There wasn't two townships involved in it, number one.
But we still had the same situation. We still were shared services for their construction.
True enough, we did have the shared service.
We,
but
we literally did it. We did the bids.
We did it. Yes, we did.
So. And then on the maps that got changed for the homeowners, how can the township change property lines without notifying the homeowners?
Huh.
I know that that was done as a mistake. My property lines were literally changed because the state put in their survey from this when they took over Voorhees State Park. And I had to literally get Eldon Allen to do my survey, and I went through two tax assessors until now. Erica, just this year, had the tax maps of Lebanon Township for my property lines corrected. I was there before the state was. They should not be able to come in and just unilaterally change my survey without contacting me. Like, how can that happen?
And we'd have to go to the specific case, but my understanding is the individual was notified and they didn't pick it up. We all get every year the little green card that says what we have.
Mm-hmm.
Some people examine it closely, some people don't. That's why we're correcting it, because we didn't feel it was his fault.
Nobody gave me new.
And your situation sounds different because it was a survey that might have been changed.
When they surveyed the state park. So now I have mine corrected. But all my neighbors around me do not have theirs corrected.
Yep.
They literally took 12 feet from one side and gave it to the other.
We'll have to take that up with the tax assessor. I wouldn't.
Well, she couldn't figure out why they. Yeah, but why is it overall that someone, whenever they did the maps, literally were able to change. They had to change it, and they had to know they changed it without even notifying me it got changed. All of the people next to me, they're all off by 12 feet.
But that sounds like it was a state survey that did it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't have any idea how that happened. We can look into it.
The state still came to our tax assessor and told her these are the lines that they want. I can see them telling you that, but if my line is changing, I'm hoping my township is representing me and telling me that they're changing my lines by 12 feet from one side to the other.
Laurie?
End of task.
For that situation, what you should do is very carefully read your deed, because your deed contains a legal description.
That's how I had to get a survey from Eldon Allen.
Okay.
Eldon Allen even reached out to the state survey people,
right.
And they wouldn't do anything. The only reason the state finally accepted our survey is when Victor threatened to cut down trees that were state property.
That's probably the reason, but it was also probably because Eldon Allen did the survey. And Eldon Allen is probably the best survey.
No, the state would not accept our survey, even when Eldon Allen wrote them a letter telling them that it was wrong, until Victor threatened to cut down them trees.
But your survey does not control your ownership of the property. It's controlled by your legal description. You own the property in accordance with your legal description. If their survey is wrong, then that can only be a problem down the line when you try to sell it. If you could prove to the buyer... that it's really the survey that's wrong and not your legal description, you should be okay. But this happens frequently.
Now, I know that it got happened, the state changed it, but how can the township change their maps without telling me they're changing my survey just because the state did a survey?
Well, I'm not particularly familiar with the procedure of how they changed the tax map. I think it gets bid out to various engineering outfits
on. I don't think she means the mechanics. She means how it's done. I think we need to ask the tax assessor. I don't think we have the information here.
How can you unilaterally change my property line on your tax maps that's been there since 1949, and then all of a sudden somewhere in 1981 they decided to change it?
I we need to ask the tax assessor for the background on that. I don't think we can. I wouldn't know your law.
Well, Erica, she didn't know either. Okay, that's it.
Again, Bob Mickle. On a lighter note, I want to ask, has the township ever recognized Wood Glen School for the 9/11 memorial they put up every year? I plead my ignorance. I don't know, you know, whether the committee's involved with it or not.
I believe it's strictly with the school.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
It's strictly with the school that does the flags planted along
right.
the way. Yeah, it's done right in here.
Right.
Right.
But I'm wondering, has the school itself been recognized with a proclamation? I don't know whether it's one class every year does it.
That's a good idea.
It is.
I mean, that's a good idea. If not, we need to do something. Because when you ride by here on 9/11, it's a very, very moving display. And, you know, I've had a couple people, friends come up, and they ride by it, and they're just, you know, it's just overwhelming when you ride by.
Right.
So I would recommend, or I would hope that we look at that, the township committee, and maybe every year just do a proclamation in August or whenever for the class that does that work. I don't know whether it's a whole school or one individual class, but I think it'd be great to recognize them.
Mr. Michael, what's Karen Lai, seventh grade math teacher?
The class that does it every year, they should be recognized. I think
I like that.
This is Lebanon Township. That's what it is, right mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
Bob? Well, see, what's even more moving is to stand in front of those girders and to look at the two towers as they existed when that morning started, and to remember the name of Richard Codina, because he was a resident of Lebanon Township. And that's what that memorial is all about. But that was the best thing that could ever have been done to memorialize 9/11 with that gritter there. So anybody that's out of the township, my relatives, if they've never been here before, that's one of the first places I take them.
Yeah.
Darrell Schmidt, Musconet on River Road. Just thinking about something with Mr. Post and his unrecorded lot line of adjustment, and he overpaid $3,000.
$5,400.
What was it?
$5,400 combined.
Oh, $5,400. Does he own both lots, or is somebody not paying taxes, or is it the tax assessor double billing?
The facts of the matter was it was in farmland assessment for the neighboring 110-acre property. It went into his property. He's got some farmland assessed, but it went into his residential property at a higher tax rate.
Okay.
So the error is costing us. There's some netting off of the
farmland. Right, so the farmer that neighbor that was getting a break, it's minimal.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right, I was just curious. It's like, well, somebody saved a lot of money there for a few years.
Mr. Valley, Red Mill Road. I just wanted to know if we can get an update on the status of our business administrator, since we are paying salary.
Mayor, I can address that. Members of the Township Committee, the supplemental legal findings that we needed have been completed, and I anticipate we'll be able to take that under consideration at our next meeting, subject to appropriate notice and process, personnel process.
Any other member of the public coming forward? Yes.
And Orion, I just want to clarify, has a legal action been filed by the business administrator against the township at this point?
No.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other member of the public coming forward to make a comment? Let's do it.
So, Barlago Marcino, Woodland Heights Circle. This is more of a question. I don't know the answer. The bears are becoming a little unbearable. So, I don't know. I know that there's no state law against you can't do hunts, but is there anything we can do as a township to try and control the population of the bears? I mean, like, we had one take our neighbor's goat the other night, and they've been...
Here's what I found.
Taking down my deer feeder quite often. So, I don't know. Is there anything that we can do?
I'm pretty sure wildlife is managed at the state level. It's never come before us to have any jurisdiction. I mean, we have a hunting permits for deer where deer hunting is regulated by the seasons. If there's not a bear hunting season, I'm not aware that we can do anything beyond talk to the state.
Yeah. I'm just asking because I know we're all dealing with that.
So. Yeah, they were around this year quite a bit.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the public coming forward?
Lisa Hyde from Boulderfield.
Can you speak a little bit into the mic for the record?
Lisa Hyde from Boulderfield. Going back to the bears. Last week or the week before, I was in my sunroom. And I heard someone banging on the back of our house. And by the time I said to my husband, something's going on, I don't know who it was, we went outside to find that the wood that's around the back, the deck and everything, something had forced its way underneath. And Bill went out, and darn it, if there wasn't a bear under the room. And it came out on the other side, and we did call the police to notify them here in Lebanon Township. And they asked if they could come. There was nothing they could do at that point. And then the next day, I guess Fish and Game or someone from Clinton called, very, very nice, told us that if it happened again, just to let them know if the bear decided to stay, but it was too soon for them to make their bed for the year, that they would come. So the bears are up on Sun Mountain, Highview Street. I think every week we have bears up there. And it really does become a big problem. I do have another question to ask. On the corner of Boulderfield and Highview Street, we have a water company. And there are two fire hydrants. There's one outside the fence. There's one inside the fence. If there was a fire or anything, is there water in that fire hydrant outside the fence to be used to do whatever?
I mean, specific hydrants, I don't know. I know we've got a handful of hydrants in the township, and we'd have to ask the fire department. I mean, they know where their refill spots are. They know where their...
I'd love to know if that is usable.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know offhand.
Because that would help with our insurance, too, knowing that it's right there. Yeah. I'm over here.
I mean, if you need it for insurance purposes, I would reach out to the fire department, and they would be able to quickly give you an answer.
Okay, I had no idea who would be able to answer that. Thank you very much.
Would Aqua Water, that's the supplier, correct? Would they have information as to whether or not either one of those fire hydrants are?
I have no idea who to contact.
I'll have to look into that with the fire company.
Okay.
Because the one inside the fence, by the time they get over the fence or break the lock, forget it. But there's one outside of it, and it would be nice to know if it's going to be usable. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members?
Karen Petzinger, Dogwood Drive. Well, we're talking about bears. Anybody who has a bear problem can call 1-877-WARN-DEP, which is 877-927-6337. And that is basically the complaint hotline for the DEP, and that's where all the bear complaints should go. That goes directly to the DEP. I believe records are given to the commissioner, which hopefully may end up going to the governor's office. And the more complaints, the more legitimate complaints, I think the more likely there is to have a restoration of the bear hunt, hopefully. And also, if the next meeting, there will be a business administrator status update. Maybe we want to have it at Woodglen, if possible. so we can accommodate a lot of people. That's it.
We've checked, and this hall is not available on November 16th, so we'll have to do our best, but we're monitoring that.
Last night, I worked very hard to get out of the house to go to the meeting, only to go back home. My husband was happy to have me back home. But why couldn't, because people are really involved in certain comments and things that are going on in the township, knowing that, or assuming that there would have been a lot of people at that meeting, I know it has to be addressed, put in the papers and all of that. When people are coming like that, why can't they use the rescue squad building, which would accommodate over 100 people, I believe?
It would accommodate more.
Yeah. And not only that, if they said, listen, we'll go over there, people are not going to complain just to walk from that spot to there.
Agreed.
If you said, let's go over and go to Woodland, yeah, maybe people would complain. But I thought the planning board, where is the planning and the fact that people are told, if you don't get out of the building after you work your tail to get there sometimes, and a lot of people are handicapped. I mean, it's hard to get in, you know, and all that. And then they're told to go home. That was kind of a slap in the face. And it's happened a few times.
It certainly wasn't intended to be.
The planning ahead, knowing that people are really on this agenda.
That was, I believe, a special meeting because the issue wasn't resolved at the prior meeting, and sometimes it's just hard to predict how many people are going to come for what
maybe
was
we can
expected
always have
to be a formal
right,
accident.
Maybe we can have a backup.
Yeah. That's legally very difficult, especially in a planning board resolution. As the attorney will tell us, we don't want to have a violation of the process where we didn't notify where people need to be. But okay. Your comment is one that
and,
will...
And then in the future, if that's a problem, why can't we have something done within the building itself to make it more accessible to more people than 85 people that would be able to come in there? I mean, you know, years back, maybe, but not now with the population and people really starting to get involved. We really need to have a facility that we can go in and not be asked to go home.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Teresa, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. Are you suggesting that maybe an addition should be added onto the...
No, I don't want to pay any more taxes.
Okay.
I get nothing back for what we have. But I'm saying maybe reconfigure, you know, all these people that take everything out of the house and make it real open. I don't see why we can't find some spaces to say maybe 25 more people can come in.
I've always asked a question about the pavilion and whether or not there's a occupancy limit to that.
Now, someone mentioned that. That would be
well, but the problem is we can't do it in the middle of December. Now, June and July, I think that's possible, but is there some limit on the number of residents that can be in the pavilion to actually have a public meeting? There's a reason I ask that is because a few years ago, I represented the Warren County Agricultural Development Board when it had a meeting at the park outside of Washington, and it was all held outdoors. And the reason it was held outdoors was because of COVID. And I swear that park pavilion could have held probably 200-400 people.
Yeah.
So I would assume we could hold the same amount, but is there a fire? Is there a code of some sort? Occupancy for an open building? Voorhees High School?
The issue for example, the shared service agreement using Woodland School, it's the same taxpayers that own it, so we have a very cordial relationship, and we don't. There's a multiple sending districts, so it gets more complicated. We've looked into it, but it's a more complicated procedure.
He said maybe it would be easier if we take the hallway out and kind of expand it, but just something to think about.
Yeah.
No tax bills.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I have a question for the attorney based upon her comment. Is there any way a fire marshal can waive the requirement as to the number of people permitted in the building? Is that something in their judgment?
No.
So it's set code,
it's the whole
period.
Point of the code. I mean, it's the whole point of the code.
Any other members of the public coming forward? Yes, ma'am.
Evelyn Mickle with Glen Road. It's with Teresa's comment. We have meetings monthly now at the Lebanon Township Firehouse Banquet Hall with our garden club, and that even has a pull-down screen for slide presentations. It's a beautiful facility. You probably all know it. I never had been there before, but is that a place where you could meet?
It's a possibility, and it's been used from time to time. The reason we come over here is our main building has an occupancy, I believe, of 80, including the vestibule.
Right.
That gets us to, I think it's 110.
108.
Yeah, right away on the 110, 108.
Yeah.
This room gets us to 160. The gym gets us to 100. So we took bigger steps to come over here, but if we get this kind of participation at 110, 108, something we can look into.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I guess the question could be for you two. If we notice that it's going to be held at the municipal building and we have to suddenly move it to the fire squad building, it's on the same complex, is that okay?
That's an example of a very minor change. The further you move, the more likely you are to be subject to attack. And as always, when we take action and we have to defend it, defending it on the merits, that's what we're here for. To have to defend the process, whether it be notice or something like that, it builds in an unnecessary issue. And I've had challenge. We went to the meeting. It wasn't in room A. It was in room C of the same building. It builds in a collateral attack. It's better to, I guess, to try to have the larger room as the primary and deal with it that way, unfortunately. But I think there could be notice, depending on how we wrote the notice, would lessen the concern with what you suggest, because they are in the same, you can park a car in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's potentially is defensible, and we just have to tweak our language at the complex and the room available, so to speak. And then we'd have to most likely dedicate somebody to our normal room to say, they're next door, So I think that would be the added requirements.
Any other member of the public coming forward to make a comment? Last call, seeing none. Is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Having no further business, is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Roll.
Again, vote.
Yes.
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 Thank you. Thank you, guys. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Poison darts.
And it's going to continue.
I was sleeping in my rifle today.
Thank you, Keith.